Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages across the world. It's the Triforce Podcast featuring Lewis.
Hey.
And Flax.
Hey.
And me. Hi. Anyway.
What a cracking intro.
We're back.
It's really put me in the mood for a nice dadly chat.
Hope you guys are pumped.
Yeah, I'm super pumped.
I feel like a mini dad. Like a kind of free dad. I feel like, because I'm surrounded by dads all the time now.
You're like a Terps. Dad by proxy.
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting like all the joy of being a dad, but with none of the trouble of staying up late and having to deal with the kids and actually having to be a dad. But I'm doing all the dad stuff.
Yeah.
Are you, Lewis?
No.
Do you have like really sort of obnoxious back pain? Like a stiff back when you wake up in the morning?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I do. Sometimes certain things ache. Like, I noticed I was playing a lot of Hearts of Iron 4.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And my middle finger was really aching from using the scroll wheel to move around.
Right.
So I looked online and I found an auto hotkey script that allowed me to use WSAD to move around the map. That's how old I am. So I'm now getting disability assistance, basically, to play a game.
Just, the arrow keys
Isn't
work.
That crazy?
You can move your cursor to the side of the screen as well. That moves the map around a bit.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I never used that.
You know, like
honestly.
Two things that have always traditionally moved the map around in those kind of games, like since the dawning of time. Yeah,
I don't like,
they do
I don't
work.
Like pressing this. I think I needed a better mouse, but my scroll wheel is very difficult to press in. So my middle finger, I don't know. Are you worried that when you're an old guy, a really old guy, like, because obviously we assume that when we hit the nursing homes, okay, so when we're like 70, we'll just be playing Super Nintendo and all this stuff, you know, whatever, who knows, right? We'll just play consoles or VR or whatever. Are you worried that you're going to have like arthritis in your hands from playing video games for your whole life? I am a little bit paranoid about that.
No, because, you know, this stuff is designed, it's like ergonomic, right? But where the sort of line ends for things being ergonomic is pressing the middle mouse button. It's unnatural. You know, like a mouse movement, mouse button one, mouse button two, one hand on the keyboard, like with the WASD claw thing. That's all fine. I can live with that. Like, I don't get any pains or aches or anything. But the minute I got to start pushing the middle mouse button, I'm like fucking dead. Like in 2 seconds, you're not meant to.
So it's not just me.
And I think it was like an afterthought too, because it's really comfortable to scroll the middle mouse wheel. That's no problem. But the minute you have to push it down, and if you have to push it down and hold it down for whatever reason, it fucking sucks. Like they should remove that from games as an option. It's garbage.
The scroll wheel shouldn't be a wheel. It needs to be a button that's sensitive to being touched at the top and the bottom, and you sort of, you scroll it with your finger, but it's not an actual friggin' wheel.
Yeah.
So that when you push it, it's just another button. Because the problem is you're pushing a little stupid hamster wheel thing, so they need to just have it so that you just move your finger in a scrolling motion on the thing that is still a button.
Yeah.
So when it comes time to button that thing, it buttons like a button.
And on some mice, it makes the dumbest noise too when you're scrolling.
It does.
Like it just makes this clicking noise. And I think Pyrion's right. If it was like a sort of like a sensor sort of thing that you could just rest your finger on and move up and down if you needed to.
You know what? I worry that I'm going to do something like bang my head or knock an eye or spike an ear in such a way that when all this super advanced VR is out when I'm in my 80s, they'll be like, did you ever like bang your eye in just such a way? And I'd say, yeah. And they said, well, then you can't use this system. And it's the best VR experience ever. Like, and now, but I feel fine. It doesn't matter, sir. I'm afraid you've had knock eye spike ear syndrome for 40 years without realizing it. And because you banged your head that one time, that's where our VR stuff has to go into your brain and you're incompatible. Like my physical hardware, my body will be incompatible with the amazing VR experience. All the other old people at home will be just lying there drooling going, this is incredible. I'm having sex with tons of people in VR and it feels like the real deal. And I'm in a war now and I'm a spaceman and I'm just sat there watching fucking Judge Judy.
Yeah, look at old iPopper over there. Can't join in. Ha, loser. Guys, I'm 80 years old. So
that's my fear.
Well, listen, I can think of like about three occasions in my life where playing video games has led to me literally having real concerns about my health. Because I remember Diablo 3 playing that. And the flashing lights, okay, of like the attacks and the moves and stuff. Because I was playing it like really hardcore, like 6 to 8 hours a day when it was the new season. I was really into it, and it was really making my eyes like feel strange, and I was feeling really sick about it. Basically, I'm sure you've played Diablo 3, but you get some incredible gear which basically breaks your hero to the point where you can use these abilities that you were supposed to use once every 20 seconds. 20 times a second, okay? And the graphics just completely spaz out, you know, hammers go everywhere or lights flash or something happens. Anyway,
yeah,
there was this light flashing on my screen and it just made me feel super, super sick. And then back when I was younger, I remember I used to play a game. I can't remember what game it was. It was probably like one of the Heroes of Might and Magic games when you just had to click your left mouse button a lot, all the time. I can't remember. I don't think it was like a quick time event where you had to spam a left click or anything like that, but any game like that. What happened was my index finger got really bad, like RSI. And so I started switching to use my middle finger for left click and my ring finger for right click. And I actually used middle finger, ring finger for like 3 or 4 years after that instead of my index finger. And I never used my index finger to click with. And it's still a bit sort of problematic today. Yeah, I still often do that. So that's like a real injury from playing video games.
It's like Revenge of the Nerds, Nerds in Paradise, where that guy is in a wheelchair because he hurt himself playing chess. That's you. That's you, actually.
Oh. These are not major injuries, but I feel that they're interesting. Like how, and obviously Minecraft was the other one where I started to get really sort of weird heart palpitations after playing like a really stressful game of Race for the Wall sometimes. But sometimes I'm not even joking.
For real? I mean, I found it annoying, but I don't think it actually had any sort of detriment on my overall health. Like, I can walk away from a computer game and just be like, yeah, whatever, I'm done.
I think it was at a time when I probably wasn't doing any other exercise at all.
Right.
And as a result, my body couldn't deal with the adrenaline spike.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. Man, coming back to what Pyrian was saying about, you know, getting injured and missing out on technology or whatever, I feel like I'm the total opposite. Because I know, like, when I'm 80 years old, I'll still be doing the same shit I'm doing now or that I was doing, like, 10 years ago and not keeping up sort of thing. I find the older that I'm getting, I'm less interested in new stuff that's coming out. And I always gravitate back towards old stuff instead.
Really?
Right. So, yeah. So, like, I still play games that, you know, are part of franchises that I was playing, like, 10 years ago or whatever. And, yeah, they've come a long way sort of thing. But, like, the whole new thing with VR and everything, I couldn't give a shit. I honestly feel no desire whatsoever to go out and buy one. I just don't give a fuck. Like, it just doesn't interest me at all.
Have you tried it?
I've tried it, like, at events and stuff, and it's okay. It's kind of cool, but it just seems like such a ball ache to get going with, you know? Like, I just want to fucking sit down and, like, play a couple of games or something or whatever. I don't want to have to, like, strap something to my face,
you know,
and
what this sounds like?
Dance around my living room and stuff.
It sounds like you're a filthy casual is what it sounds like.
I am. I like, even the Nintendo Wii, like, I just find a holy
you're
fuck.
Too lazy for the Wii? Come on, dude. You just put your hand through the...
Yeah, you just got to get the fucking the sensor bar and all this shit, and it's like, okay.
You're
but
a
like,
sit-down gamer.
Just fucking give me a... like a iPad or something.
So lazy.
Yeah, I just want to sit down and be lazy and just like get weird backaches from having a terrible posture and sitting in the same chair for a long time and slowly like slunching down.
How do you feel about a standing desk? Because a lot, this is all the rage now. They have the, a lot of people are getting them in offices and they're like a thing. Apparently sitting down all day is as bad for you as smoking. Well, and so is red meat and so is...
Standing up all day is probably just as bad. Like you're meant to move.
Have you That's seen...
the thing. Standing up isn't going to make you fit.
Yeah.
You know, going for a walk or doing some shit is going to make you fit.
Have you seen the old ladies that work in bakeries or as dinner ladies and they're on their feet all day and their legs are like elephant legs and they're covered in
they
varicose
veins.
They've
got like these
veins.
Massive tree trunk legs.
Yeah, it's from standing. All their body has gravitated downwards like a bag of icing and it's just all at the bottom of their body.
A bag of
it's
icing.
All bursting to get out of their
it's
legs.
It's true. I don't see how that's good for you or enjoyable even.
I've
I mean,
been on
fucking...
my feet for 47 years. Oh, you must be in prime health, Mrs. Miggins. Help, kill me.
Yeah. I don't like, I like sitting down and after I've sat down for like an hour or whatever, you get up and you stretch a bit and you sit back down. It's fine. Like I don't want to be fucking standing up for hours on end. Like, Jesus
Just
Christ,
move.
It's the worst.
If you're so attached to your computer that the only way you can stand up and move around is by having to stand up and move around whilst using a computer.
Yeah, then get a fucking VR headset.
Go and have a walk around the block. When you get lunch, go out and get lunch. You know what I mean? Like, go and do something. Something. Like, I saw one guy that, in order to get around his exercise problems, had fitted out his computer with an exercise bike so that he had to pedal to power the monitor, right? If he didn't pedal, no power for the monitor. So he had to pedal to play. I'm just thinking, why don't you just take 1 hour out of playing the game and go for a bike ride?
Yeah.
Enjoy the world around you instead of just going, oh, dude, I've been grinding in WoW all day. Just take a fucking break.
I think it is. Yeah.
Or and if it's a big problem for you, I find not enough people embrace being morbidly obese. You know, they're always complaining about it. It's like, well, you seem to fucking enjoy yourself getting to this point. Why not just fucking, you know... have a bit of a celebration. I did it.
Yeah,
I made it.
Celebrate with a pizza or a cake or something.
Yeah, just enjoy it.
Yeah, have a walk out to your local McDonald's. Just have a walk down there every day.
Just enjoy it.
And do it. No, I think there is a psychology thing there, right, P-Flex? Like, I think if you have to do something like that, like strap a monitor to your exercise bike, it kind of means that you're tricking yourself into exercising, and sometimes that's okay. But
I feel sometimes... like you're avoiding a problem. It's like it's like rather than actually just come out and say I have a problem playing this game so much that I'm just never moving, then why don't you just set a goal for yourself rather than trick yourself? You shouldn't need to trick yourself in this.
I think that sometimes you do need to trick yourself. I think sometimes that does work. I think that one of the things, though, is that people certainly think that people certainly overvalue exercise when it comes to weight loss, right? That's the thing which we're always told. It's that losing weight is starts in the kitchen, not in the gym. You know,
I think a lot of people assume that you need to exercise intensely to lose weight, and I think that that's wrong too. You know, like I don't think you're gigantic because you've sat around and played WoW or whatever for like 10 years and never moved, and then you go out and you join like a fucking high velocity kickboxing club or something. You know what I mean? Like. That's not going to really help you out. Like you just need to, it's lifestyle, right? And like, I think if you're constantly tricking yourself or whatever, you're just setting yourself up to fail or just not do that all the time. You know, like gyms are a little bit like that too. You know, like if you go to a gym and you have a personal trainer and stuff, it's just like, it's something that you don't want to do that you now have to do because you've paid for it and you've organized it and stuff.
Exactly.
And it just becomes like another thing that you force yourself to do. Whereas like if your lifestyle was different and you naturally just went out and walked places or you did something or, you know, you were interested in something, you know, you were on a football team or, you had somebody that you cycled with or something like that. You would just naturally get exercise and probably be healthy, sort of thing.
You have to just do it for yourself, right? You can't. That's how people who quit smoking. They, you know, it's not That they at the end of the day, they've done it themselves.
Yeah.
And they should be proud of that. If I said to someone, oh, you know, you should really quit smoking, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to suddenly think, oh, actually, Lewis is right.
Man, smoking is such a weird one, though.
I can't believe no one said that to
me before. Like, you never fully quit smoking because you're always tempted, right? Because you've done it before. So, like, you always have these moments later on after you've quit smoking where you're, you know, you're drunk or something. You're like, oh, fuck, I'm just going to smoke. And then you smoke, like, very briefly. But, like, you shouldn't really do that, but it just happens. It's, like, one of those things. I don't know. I guess it just, like, alters your brain in some way or whatever. You always feel, like, compelled to smoke again. But it's, like, at the same time, it's one of those things. It's kind of like phones have replaced it. Like, smoking in, like, the 80s and the 90s, I think, it was like a prop, right? Like, if you're waiting at a bus stop or whatever, so, oh, yeah, I'll just smoke. Or yeah, you know, you're waiting somewhere, you're doing something. You had some time in between something. It was, like, perfectly acceptable to just be like, yeah, I'm just going to smoke. And, like, back then, you could smoke in restaurants. I mean, we used to be able to smoke in the mall. Like, we used to be able to walk around the mall smoking. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But you can't do that now.
You used to be able to smoke in the cinema. You could, in restaurants.
It was crazy.
It was just like, you didn't smoke if the people at the next table were still eating. Like, you'd wait until they'd finished and then you'd smoke. I mean, it was a whole different world, kids.
Yeah. When we were in high school, we had a Subway sort of close by our high school, you know, like the where you eat Subway, not like the underground.
Yeah.
And you could smoke. And where I lived, it was cold for like 6 months of the year or whatever. So we'd go over there and we'd buy a sub and we would literally sit in Subway for like 6 hours just smoking our butts off because it was nice and warm and we could, and it was great.
It was crazy. I mean, I don't think people, like, imagine if you're 16 now, you've pretty much grown up in a world where smoking isn't a thing that everybody does.
It's like totally
does.
Outlawed. Yeah.
But everybody fucking smoked. Like, my parents smoked, all their friends smoked, my teachers smoked. You could go into my dad's office and there would be people sitting there smoking in the office. Like, it was just, it was like Mad Men. They weren't joking in Mad Men when everybody's fucking smoking. Everybody fucking smoked. Like, everybody.
It must have been like a post-war thing, though, right? Because I think it got very popular during the wars and stuff. You know, cigarettes were considered like a luxury thing that you got. And I think that probably just carried on, like, after probably like World War II or whatever. Just became like a cultural thing where, you know, everybody smoked.
It was very
smoked.
Common for soldiers to be given them in as part of ration packs.
Yeah,
they
get
like
a pack
this.
Of bags in there, yeah.
You know what else I think became like super popular after the war that like... Because I was just wondering one day, I was thinking, because we used to go camping a lot. And, like, you know, I grew up in a country where camping is, like, you know, the done thing. You do it. You'll have to do it at some point in your life just because it's so accessible or whatever. But, like, I sometimes think that maybe camping became popular, like, post-war as well. I don't know if that's something that people would have necessarily done a ton of, like, before that. But maybe, like, you know, the people that went away and fought in wars and stuff like that somehow, for some reason, enjoyed staying in tents and stuff like that. And then maybe when they came back, it was like, oh, you know, let's do that fun thing that without like the killing and stuff, like, you know, we'll get a little tent and we'll go out in the woods. Cause I think that people like doing that sort of thing. But like, I often wonder if maybe it became even more popular after
maybe
people had been sort of...
I kind of wonder if it was the Boy Scouts and the Girl Guides and stuff that popularized it as well. Because a lot of people that wouldn't have done it otherwise, like a lot of town kids and city kids, probably had access to it and thought, actually, this is a lot of fun. Although why they'd think that, I don't know. Camping is the fucking worst, man.
No, honestly, though, like it can be really shitty, but it, like, depending on how you do it, it can be really good. Like, obviously, there's
half-assed. That's how I'd do it.
Right.
Like, fully half-assed. I get the tent, I put it up, and I'm like, this thing's missing a couple of poles, but fuck it. It leaks. And then it's like, I dump the tent.
One thing I noticed, though, about Britain and, like, especially over here, there are forests, but, you know, there's lots of, like, fields and stuff like that. And when you see people camping or going, like, on in their caravans, like on TV in Britain, they often do it in a field. And I mean, like, when I went camping in Canada, like, we'd always camp in a forest.
Right.
Just because it was
more interesting than a friggin' field.
Yeah. So, like, maybe people in Britain need to, like,
it's true. Like, I'd go camping in, like, the New Forest or somewhere like that would be awesome. Like, it's beautiful forest, really, really thick. You could just go out. Yeah. I don't know if you're allowed to. Like, genuinely. I mean, Canada's so friggin' big that there's no way they're going to police it and say, you're not allowed to camp 1,000 miles from civilization, sir, and there's going to be, like, a park ranger there. No.
Yeah.
Like, you've got a ton of land, whereas in the UK, I bet if you just pitched a tent in the forest, people would complain.
So
I went camping. I think the best camping trip I ever went on, I went with my friend and his dad, and his dad was like this... He was like really enthusiastic about fishing and camping and just sort of like outdoors life sort of thing, you know, like he worked like a pretty crappy job. And when he got time off, like in the summer or whatever, this is like everything would lead up to him going away on these trips or whatever with or without his family kind of thing. But in this case, he took me and my friend, we went camping and we went for 2 weeks. Okay. We went to this place where you camp like on an island. So you have to do a portage. So you have to like carry a canoe through a forest for a couple of miles because you can't park anywhere close to this place. Yeah. So you put all of your 2 weeks of supplies and everything into the canoe, and then you carry the canoe through the forest. You get to like the lakeside or whatever, and then you row out or canoe out to this little island. And then that's where we camped for 2 weeks. So like no electricity, like no nothing. Like we went to bed when it got dark. We woke up when the sun rose. We just ate everything we ate that we warmed up. We warmed up like on a fire, and we went fishing like fucking every day. And we had to shit in a hole. Like we had to dig holes to shit in and stuff. And it was awesome, actually. It was really, really enjoyable. Like we really stunk when we got back. We were like really hungry when we got back and stuff, but it was such a cool way of doing it. Like it was really something. It was a really cool experience. I would totally recommend it.
I was enjoying it up until the point where basically you said that like you really stank. Cause I guess I guess it was too cold to swim in the river.
It was a lake. So you'd go in, but like, you know, like we took soap with us. So we just like jump in the lake and have a quick wash or whatever, but you're out there, you don't see anyone, there's, you know, no one around, so you don't feel like compelled to wash like every day sort of thing. You just like stink it up, shit in a hole, eat stuff that you cooked on a fire,
eat stuff,
go fishing a lot,
cook on a fire, I guess. Were you eating the fish that you caught? This sounds amazing.
Yeah, he was good at sort of like preparing, gutting fish and stuff, and we cooked them up and ate them.
Proper camping.
Some of them you're not allowed to, like, you, because you have to have a license. You can only catch certain ones or keep certain ones and whatever.
I mean, my experience with scout campsites and things were much more tame, you know. It was like, you know, you drive down to this place, you'd walk about 10 yards off the car park, you know, put your tent down on a nice field next to a building with like a shower in it.
That's it. Like when I was in Cubs and Scouts, you go to like basically, because in Canada, again, it's all geared up for that. So they'd have in like a national park or whatever, they'd have like a big area for big group camping sort of thing. And you'd get like a huge log cabin with like bunk beds in it and stuff like that. And you did it that way. It was still pretty fun, but yeah, nothing beats like really fucking bare bones camping. Like it's really, really fun, especially if
that
you bring
amazing.
Yeah, like, if you bring like lots of
style.
We bought so much fucking junk food, and we brought a lot of beer and stuff too. So it was like even better, because you'd just be like out fishing all day and like standing around in the sun and just like being outside all the time. And man, it was really nice to just like drink beer and fall asleep by a campfire.
I'm a city dweller, and I the idea of being that far out in the wilderness kind of scares me. Even though I'm way more likely to be killed in a big city than I am out in the wilderness, the idea of being stuck in the wilderness and being tracked by some kind of murderous villain.
But the thing is, most murderous villains aren't prepared to do a portage. So like if you're on an island, you're probably fine. Like they probably, because most of them aren't going to be out there anyway, right? They're going to do like what Lewis does. They're going to park up somewhere, walk 10 yards and just hope that victims present themselves.
I brought my canoe.
We were in the deepest, darkest Canada at this point on an island. So there's no chance of that happening. Like it seems like
the least likely place.
Like this weird forest killer would have to have a heck of a lot of time on his hands and a lot of passion for his craft to follow
You'd
us out to that island.
You'd have to respect him at the very end there.
I would. I'd be like, like, you know what?
Well played, sir. You're committed.
I know
committed.
You're about to like skin my thighs and eat them in front of me and then kill me or whatever. But honestly, respect, man. Holy shit. It must have... You must have taken a great deal of effort to get out here and find us. And, you know, some of those holes that I was shitting in, I didn't cover up. So just be careful on your way back.
Yeah. I wonder if he'd be like, you know what? So few people take the time to really appreciate what I do. You've changed my opinion about victims, possibly forever. I'm glad you saw the effort I put into this craft of mine. Anyway,
yeah.
Off with your arms. Hold still, please.
Man, it's funny, though, because I didn't have a clue, right? So when we were packing up our stuff, the supplies and everything was, like, really calculated, too. You know, like we had fruit juice, but it was in, like, these little, like, pouches, like the crystallized stuff, and then we just mix it with, like, you know, fucking filtered lake water or whatever. But we had literally... exactly what we needed for 2 weeks. So, wow. Like, if we stayed an extra day, we would starve because we'd just be out of supplies by then. And
fortunately, you were
so
in
we're
the
packing
Antarctic.
Up the we were packing up the stuff, and then like in and amongst the stuff, there's like this rusty little like garden shovel thing, you know, like that thing that your mom uses, like that just that little mini shovel, like that little handheld mini shovel to like. You know, dig up a plant in a garden or whatever. It was like this old fucking rusty thing. I was like, what the fuck are we bringing this for? Like, we're going to do some gardening while we're there? And then my friend just like sort of looked at me with like this expression. I was like, well, what? He's like, no, that's what we have to like dig holes to take shits in with. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my God.
Can we put that in a plastic bag or something? It's been clearly used like a couple of times.
You don't shit on the shovel. You just... You dig the hole with the shovel.
No, but there is definitely the risk of shit getting onto the shovel. Like if you're, you know, what if you dig a hole and somebody, you managed to dig a hole where somebody else is.
Yeah,
like,
what are the chances?
Done it and stuff.
I mean, in a way, that's like buried treasure level unlikeliness.
I know, but still, I mean, you know, that thing is going to get contaminated one way or another. So, and then it's just sitting there in your luggage, like, kind of gross.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I mean, do you think we've become too coddled and like kind of like just used to living it nice inside a warm place and, you know, not knowing what it's like to be out?
I don't think so, Lewis. I mean, think about the standing desk. You know, people still have hardship in their lives. They still struggle.
That's it. Yes, people still put themselves through the paces.
The scroll wheel, some of the scroll wheels on a mouse will put you through your paces, apparently. Jeez. I mean, you know.
You might have palpitations if you're standing up scrolling through Minecraft.
If you're a serial killer, you're on your feet all day.
All
every day.
Day.
Just imagine that's
it's
like.
Grafting, pure old-fashioned grafting. That's what that is.
Well, you got to be careful because if you plan on being a serial killer in your 70s or 80s, you might have like the bag of icing effects. Like, I can't chase down my victims effectively anymore because I got these big tree trunk legs from too much standing up at a desk.
The serial killer's elbow. I can't swing a blade anymore.
Those big tree trunk legs that go straight into the... poopy holes that you dug as well when you're chasing after that family.
You're trying to creep up on someone and all you hear is like boom, boom. Oh, it's all tree trunk legs behind me. It gives you like a 20-minute warning so you can
the
start
tree
running.
Trunk killer.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm sort of thinking of the woman from Misery now because of the tree trunk leg. Because she always struck me as a bit of a dinner lady type.
Yeah, she did have a dinner lady quality to her, definitely.
She
apart
was
apart from, you know,
crazy,
when she broke his ankle with a sledgehammer, that was kind of... I didn't see that at school, but from the dinner ladies. We used to get in trouble if we didn't eat our crusts.
Really?
Did you guys have this?
Well,
yeah.
they give you curly hair, don't they?
No, it's just,
or they make your hair
if you think
curly.
About, I've got a problem with crusts, okay? I still cut the crusts off my kids' sandwiches, even though they don't even ask for it anymore. Because I can relate. Because I don't eat the fucking crust. Well, the crust sucks.
You know, well, that's why you've gone bald, P-Flex.
No, because I was forced to eat them then, Lewis.
Were you?
Wasn't I?
Well, would you not have eaten the crusts anyway? You didn't like them? Well,
if you have a really good bit of bread, right? The crust is good. But what is the crust? The crust is the burnt exterior. You buy a loaf of bread, like your average Hovis, you bring it home. The crust is like the worst part of the bread. Why am I going to say to my kids, you have to eat your crust? The only reason that came about is I reckon it was post-war rationing and food was cheap.
No,
and
no,
it was literally, we've got to fill the kids up with something, eat the damn crust or you'll be hungry later and we have no food.
No, but that's what they used to do. They used to make breadcrumb pudding, didn't they? Like they used to use the crust of the bread to make like this fucking weird pudding with because nobody wanted to eat the crust. Yeah. Like, they reuse everything. Well, I don't know how I feel
about
like that.
French bread. The crust for French bread is really, really nice. But that's the thing. But, I mean, if it's a good crust. Yeah, but if it's a good crust. Exactly.
I think he's talking more about the crust on like a slice of Wonder Bread or something.
No, no, like, you know, I get the Hovis Best of Both Worlds, which it clearly can't be. I mean, it's promising a lot, but I like the way it's called Best of Both. It's kind of got a kind of a white bread thing going on, but it's also kind of got a brown bread thing going on, but without just being that overbearing, covered in fucking seeds, this is healthy but bland brown bread.
You know what's really nice? You know what's really nice? Get an oatmeal loaf. You know, it's got like little like oats sprinkled on the crust.
My kids won't like that. Their kids won't like
that. No, I'm telling you, it's really nice though. Like, your kids might not like it, but it's really fucking good.
Go to Waitrose and pick up Waitrose. And or Marks and Spencer's. Right. And pick up an oatmeal loaf. You will enjoy it, honestly, Ted. It's your kind of thing. Selfridges peanut butter.
I had a delivery last night, right, from Ocado. The Ocado guy turns
Ocado
up.
Ocado is Waitrose.
Yeah. And he delivers it, and he's like, there you go, Gov. Hands me the slip. And he says, only one item missing this
and
week.
And you're like shaking. You're like scared.
Yeah, I was like, let me see. And it was the red pepper and garlic hummus.
Oh, shit.
I went in and I said to Mrs. F, I said, only one item missing is the red pepper.
Tragedy,
the red
Mrs.
pepper
F.
and garlic hummus. And she was like, not the hummus. But my first thought was, what a world.
It's like, it's like she's received news that her son has died in the war.
Yeah, not the hummus. Bad news, though. No hummus for us.
Not Steve.
But I thought, I honestly, like, what a world we live in where I can be disappointed that my fucking frou-frou red pepper and garlic hummus didn't deliver. And I'm like, I'm in a position where I'm able to be disappointed about
she's
a lack
like
of hummus.
She's burst into tears. You're consoling her, like patting her on the
but
back.
Then I thought,
like, don't worry.
But then I thought, hold on a sec. Fuck that. And I grabbed the pita bread and I marched out to the guy and I said, what the fuck am I meant to do with this? And I threw the pita bread in his face.
That's what I was about to say.
This
like,
is useless now.
If you got a whole bunch of like snacking vegetables, like, you know, pre-cut carrots and like, you know, little like broccolis and, you know, stuff that you would generally dip like into hummus.
Crudité.
All that stuff would be useless.
It's
without
useless.
The hummus.
I was throwing crudités at him all the way down the road. Here's your fucking sliced cucumber and slices and carrots.
I'm not eating this shit without hummus, you fucking asshole. God damn, you never come back.
That was pretty much my evening.
Apart from next Monday when I bought another order of it. Listen, I feel like that's an example though of our luxury, that we can just eat hummus out of the tub with carrot sticks. You know,
that's,
I think
that's so
that's
fucking
greedy.
Good though.
I think that desensitizes you to hummus a little bit. You know, it's too strong. It's like eating peanut butter with your finger. You know, you can't
stop doing that.
It's a slippery slope.
My wife hates it when I do that. I drink milk from the jug. I drink orange juice from the carton, and I eat peanut butter with my finger.
What are you like?
Well, here's what I do. When I'm drinking the carton of orange juice, right, I don't put my lips around it. What I do is I tilt my body way back at an almost impossible angle.
Oh, just pour it into your open mouth. That's a good idea.
Tip it in. No part of my body touches it. So I'm just like, what are you complaining about? She's like, it's disgusting. I'm like, I'm not touching it. Look.
That's really hard to do, like, with milk bags. Like,
milk bags? Yeah. God,
well,
yeah.
Because in Canada, you get
whenever
milk in bags.
Whenever I go to my grandfather lived in Ottawa, and whenever we'd go see him, the milk comes in a bag. And I was like, what? This
that
is
shit
so
is really
weird.
Hard to pour into your open mouth without just putting your mouth all the way around the bag.
I didn't understand it. Was it because of the freezing nature of Canada that they can't leave it out in a bottle because
I think it was post-war, like a post-war thing. I'm just joking. It wasn't.
rationing.
I think it's just, you can buy 4 liters of milk at a time in these big bags. Yeah. And I don't know why, but I used to work at a grocery store, and holy shit, that stuff sold like hotcakes. Like, it was crazy. Yeah. We'd get racks and racks and racks of these big bags of milk, and they'd just be all gone by the end of the day. It was nuts.
I just read a thing that said gardens are banned in New Zealand. It's like a real thing.
Okay.
What do you mean gardens are banned in New Zealand? Googling
apparently
now.
Gardening is banned because New Zealand is like an agricultural based society that relies on people buying goods grown on New Zealand soil.
All right, so they're not allowed to actually plant their own vegetables. Isn't that like a breach of human rights?
You can grow things but not cultivate anything, which means apparently flowers. Because there's like an avocado shortage going on.
Right.
New Zealand. Oh, God, that's like this. My lack of hummus. An avocado shortage. Go.
Honestly, avocado shortage is something that I can live with for sure.
I read this article a couple of days ago about it, and it was like, it was really kind of bizarre. It was like a sort of microcosm of a more serious problem. There'd be like people breaking into avocado plantations and like getting big old bin bags of like avocados and taking them, a little bit like what the way drugs are sold in Amsterdam, right? So like people grow weed in like their lofts or their basements or wherever, yeah. And they put them in these big bin bags. And sometimes
labs.
People break into their house and steal them.
Yeah.
And then they take these bin bags to like the coffee shops and sell them there. They're not really sort of supposed to, but they kind of are. Hmm. And so a lot of these people were breaking into these avocado plantations, loading up loads of bin bags full of avocados and taking them to like high-end restaurants and cafes in Auckland.
What a black market that is. Hey,
it's insane.
You want to buy an avocado?
I got three garbage bags full.
God.
Isn't that bonkers? And then at the end of the article, it was talking about how, you know, these avocados that are bought on the street might contain, you know, might have not been washed of their pesticides that were sprayed on, so be careful.
It's these avocados have been laced in crack. What the hell is going on?
I heard they cut their street avocados with, like, detergent and stuff to make it go further, right?
Yeah. Or something, like fairy liquid powder, something green.
There'll be like a music festival. Now, we've had word that there's some bad avocado going around. Don't take the bad avocado.
The guacamole. Do not accept guacamole from someone you don't know.
Jesus.
Do not touch any of the hummus. It also has heroin in it.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
No hummus.
God. Please. Please, no. So, oh my goodness. Sorry to have such a strange tangent. I don't know why
We love tangents. This is the home of tangents here. This is tangent, tangent, safe place.
We've done 40 minutes of bum chat.
Yeah.
This week, what have you guys actually done? Have you done anything like interesting this week? Have anything happened? Have you crashed your car? Has anyone like been sick?
I went to Bristol for 2 days. As you know,
that was fun
because I was with you most of the time, and I saw the Warcraft movie.
You saw the Warcraft movie.
Finally got around to seeing it.
What did you think?
It was okay. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't amazing. It was somewhere in the middle. You know, as a long time Warcraft fan, there was a lot of fan service in there that I enjoyed. It was fun seeing people get out of every possible situation with the teleportation spell. That was cool too.
Yeah.
So
it was good.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It was entertaining. It was good experience at the cinema and stuff. I don't know if I'll watch it again. I'm kind of like I'm a bit like that. You know, like the Star Wars movies, like The Phantom Menace and the other one and the one after that, the more recent ones, The Force Awakens. Mm. I only saw those once in the cinema and that's it.
Yeah.
I never watched them again after. So like my experience of them was different. A lot of people were like, they were trash, but like they'd watched them 300 times or whatever. So, you know, they did these big in-depth analysis of the movies and how they compared to the old ones and stuff. But like, I'm not all about that. Like I just go to the movie theater, buy some popcorn, watch a movie. And if that 2 hours that I spent there was enjoyable enough, I'm cool with that sort of thing. And then I move on with my life. So
I do think people read too much into films that are just meant to be fun.
Yeah.
It's just meant to be an entertaining film. And I think if you read a lot of blogs and reviewers and stuff like that about films, a lot of them try to deconstruct it all in a way that I don't think... I mean, everybody wants to be the guy who comes up with the clever deconstruction of like a Kubrick movie. But you know what? The Star Wars movie is just like a roller coaster or whatever. Just enjoy the ride. And I don't think you need to read quite so much into it. If you want to do that, fine. But don't be disappointed when the average movie that you see is really... I mean, I really enjoyed Iron Man 3. I really enjoyed the Avengers movie and some stuff. And people like getting all mealy-mouthed. Oh, what does this say about America? What does it say about... Oh, come on. It's just a friggin' movie. I watched Predator the other night.
Oh, and well, I just, on Netflix?
No, it was just on TV.
Fuck, it's on Netflix now too, the original Predator and the original Die Hard too.
What I mean, there's two movies. I must have seen them 50 to 100 times easily over the last 30 years of my life.
Yeah.
Every single time that I turn on and it's like Die Hard is just starting. I'm like, I ain't going anywhere for the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fucking watch this movie. But I don't sit there thinking,
I plug right in, yeah.
I must deconstruct the relationship.
What does this say about fucking Bruce Willis's propensity to... Yeah,
what does the jet lag scene really mean? Perhaps we're all in a way jet lagged, and perhaps barefoot is about a return to a simpler form of life when we walked barefoot on the proverbial rug in the proverbial office. Shut the fuck up! It's Bruce Willis! It's Die Hard!
Man, I just want to watch a guy crawl around in vents wearing a wife beater that gets increasingly filthy and disgusting as the movie goes on for 2 hours. That's what I'm there for.
Exactly. I'm there for the snappy yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, that kind of shit.
I mean, he isn't even like wearing shoes for half that movie, is he?
No.
Most of the movie. That's one of the key parts of the film is, in fact, the lack of shoes.
And what does it mean, his lack of shoes? Are we any of us wearing shoes?
You know, there's a lot of glass on the floor in one scene, and he's like, shit, I can't do anything here. I'm not wearing
Hans
shoes.
Hans is like, she's the inventor. And there was always one bit, he says to the other German guy, shoot the glass in German. And the guy looks at him like, huh? And he says, shoot the glass in English. And I'm like, really? Like, wouldn't he just said it again in German? If I said to you, hey, Sip, shoot the glass. And you went, what? I'd go, Schießen Fenster!
Yeah.
And you go, oh, right, shoot the glass. Yeah, I didn't know in my native language what
I know,
you were talking
about.
I know,
but there's no account. If you're under pressure and it's like a highly charged situation, though, people make funny decisions, don't they? Like,
maybe.
You know, he was so stressed out, he's probably just like, oh God, I can't even, my brain is in overdrive. Just say it in English, I guess, and hope for the best. You know what I mean? Like,
it was just transparent that the audience needed to know what he was saying. But then why not just have him shout, shoot the glass?
Man, Die Hard is so good.
I love it.
It's like, I still think it's interesting, right, how, so Die Hard, when did you see Die Hard? When was it? Do you remember?
Well, Die Hard's like a Christmas movie, isn't it? It used to always be on around Christmas time on TV.
The first time I saw it, my mum rented it for me from Flicks, which was the video shop in Bournemouth near where we lived. And they had a little picture of an Oscar, you know, it's sort of like to let you know it was movies. And she rented me. I used to be a very sickly child. I had like mumps and I had all kinds of fucking shit. And I would be at home off school a lot, and she rented me movies that were way too old for me. Like, I must have been 13 or 14, and she was like, fuck it, I'm getting him Die Hard, it's a good movie. So
I mean, Die Hard came out in 1988.
Right.
Wow, yeah, I don't think I saw it in 88. I probably saw it a couple
years
after.
So I would have been like 12, so it probably came out on video when I was about 13 or 14. So I watched that, she'd rent that, she'd say, you know, if I was poorly, she'd say, do you want me to rent a movie for you? She was great when I was sick. So she'd go and rent me Die Hard, and I watched it like 3 times, because I was a kid. Kids do that. You just watch the same thing over and over again. My kids do the same thing. My 4-year-old is like, Frozen just finished. She's like, put it on again. I was like, you just, and she's like, put it on again.
That's, kids do that though. They,
yeah. So
the repetition, like, right. It's like comforting or something.
So I'd watch it again, and you know, then it was on TV. Recorded it off TV, like you said, Christmas movie, so, you know, I'd have my Die Hard, and I'd watch that, and that was, like, one of my little collection of movies. It's like that, Alien, Aliens, Predator, Terminator 2, a bunch of movies like that. That was the video collection, and those are the ones that I've seen. And they're the ones that pretty much any time they're on, I could sit back and watch them, even though I've seen it 100 times. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, they're just, like, I think it's something, if you watch something and it has some sort of impact on you when you're, like, a child, and it's still something that you can enjoy as an adult, you'll probably enjoy it still, sort of thing, because there's just a whole mix of things. Like, it reminds you of being a kid, it reminds you of, like,
it's
happy,
like, nostalgia,
moment of being,
right?
A kid. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, like, yeah, I'm the same with, like, Die Hard. I'm the same with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's another movie that I used to watch, like, with my family every Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
We just, like, make it a point to, like, no matter what we were doing, sit down and watch that stupid movie. And it was just like, I don't know. It's just such a great movie.
I think this is different. It's comfort, though. It becomes like background music, though, often, like, you know, in the lounge and stuff at Christmas.
But that's another movie. Like, if it's on TV, I'll literally just drop everything and just sit there.
But you're
and
not
going
to do that with The Phantom Menace.
No.
I guess, you know.
No.
But then again, it does. I mean, we're talking about The Phantom Menace as a film. That came out in 1999.
Yeah.
You know, I was 15. We bunked off school, we got a few beers, you know, and we went and watched The Phantom Menace, and we enjoyed it, and it was fun.
It was well received, though, when it first came out. I think it was just after the fact.
Well, it made like $1 billion at the box office.
Yeah, I think it was just after people had time to digest and realize, like, what happened in the movie, which was like,
I think people expect really it to be much. Able to watch it over and over like Star Wars, yeah. almost. It's the same thing with World of Warcraft and MMOs too, right? Like, in a sense, like, people complain about MMOs and certain games. Like, I saw this news recently about The Division that like 95% of the audience has like quit since it came out. I mean, so what? I am not surprised about that at all. I play games for like, you know, until I'm done with them, and then I quit them again. I since when did you expect to buy a game and have it be play it for 2 years? I don't expect that anymore. That's not an expectation of
but
mine.
But when they build the game around that multiplayer stuff, and they're like, we're going to add new bits, and obviously, think how much money they must have put into developing that game. I mean, it was beautiful. It was a really beautiful game.
It was.
I mean, it obviously, the amount of detail, just in rooms where you're just running through, you look around, and I think, it's not like there's just, oh, this is an off-the-shelf room. I'm like, wow, this all feels completely like something they hand-built, like the entire place.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And, I kind of feel like if your numbers suddenly plummet, your plan for going forward of, it's all right, we'll cover the development costs because with this framework, with this framework, we can then release a bunch of add-ons and we'll make enough money to cover all the costs and make some profit and stuff. So if they bring out a game that's meant to have a shelf life and doesn't, I mean, not, like, I'm with you. If a game comes out like The Witcher 3 or whatever, and it's like, they have the expansions and then it's like plummets and everybody, Witcher 4, you know, fair enough. But this was a game that was meant to have active servers and now it just doesn't. And I kind of, like, imagine if Overwatch suddenly went and nobody was playing it. That wouldn't be like, oh, well. Yeah. It would be like, holy shit, we thought this was going to be our big game for the next four or five years.
Well, but it doesn't, again, I don't think it matters so much because people have had to pay an incredible amount of money to buy it in the first place. If it was free to play and no one was playing it, that's a problem. But you've almost made your money back already. I don't get games companies being disappointed for making an absolute shitload of money off their AAA game.
Yeah.
And then people quit after they finished it. Oh, whoop-de-doo. Also, the Division endgame is completely different to the Division game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Division game, you're like shooting your way through using grenades, using whatever weapons, blah, blah, blah. It's quite fun. And then you get to the end game, and it's like, okay, you need to upgrade your gun to a purple gun, to a legendary gun, and upgrade your headshot capability because every human has to have like 50 headshots to die.
Right.
It becomes like Borderlands. It becomes like, it's a different game in every single way.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of games now are designed to in a way where they want to keep you playing after you've sort of finished the game, if you like, or you get to like the end game part of the game or whatever. But a lot of games just like fall short in that sense. Like, I think something like World of Warcraft, which like we all played for some amount of time, I guess, like that kept me playing for years and years and years, you know, even though like I got to the maximum level and did raids and all that kind of stuff. And it kept me in. But like, sometimes I think about this and I wonder why I was kept in there, but there weren't as many games coming out at the time either, right? Like when World of Warcraft came out, like, you know, there were still lots of games coming out, don't get me wrong, but there wasn't nearly as many as are coming out now. You know, like almost every month now there's like some new huge game that everybody, you know, needs to play sort of thing coming out. And a lot of games now, they try to hook you in, they try to keep you in the game or whatever, but there's too much else coming out that people will just gravitate towards inevitably. And I don't know. I think a lot of companies just don't know what to put into a game to keep people in it. Diablo 3 is a good example. That's meant to be a game that you play a lot of all the time. You grind through and stuff like that. But like the game just dies like a week after a new season comes out. You know, everybody's hyped for a new season. They come in, they play a lot. They binge on it for like a week. And then it just doesn't have like one or two key things in it to keep you hooked. And I'm not sure what those are, but like, I feel like maybe the Division is the same, but I'm not sure what it is. I guess with WoW, it was the whole community social aspect.
Yeah, you could go hang out in a city.
Could hang out. You didn't necessarily need to do anything when you logged in or whatever, but I guess like the Division and Diablo are different because you actually have to do something when you log in, you know, like there's not really somebody to just hang out with and talk to. You have to log in and grind to get that purple shotgun or whatever. And maybe just like the thought of doing that is just kind of shitty for people and they just don't want to do it.
Have you seen anything come out of E3 that you're interested in?
I haven't been paying any attention to E3. Like, I don't even know what's been announced. Nothing.
I didn't watch it. I want to go next year. Like, I've never been to one. It looks like fun. I really would like to go.
As well. I've never been to one either.
We should go next year.
All right.
Yeah, we'll go next year if you two haven't been. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like a big Actually, I think they're now trying to open E3 up to the public and make it more of a consumer con, because it's actually an industry con.
Yeah,
and the
idea
is that you can only get in if you're in the industry in some way, either a journalist or a games dev.
Oh, I'm in the industry.
Or you know someone who can get you a ticket. And it's fun. It's interesting. There's a lot of stuff to see. There was obviously the main thing which I heard was the Skyrim Special Edition upgrade to the graphics, which, quite honestly, I'm a little bit surprised by, because, well, Skyrim came out in November 11th, 2011, right? And it's a huge game. It's really good. But I got the things that frustrated me in Skyrim were really not the beautiful look of it. I still think it looks really good today, especially with mods. If you get some high resolution mods on, I'm pretty sure you can make it just as good as what their special edition's going to look like. But then again, if you're on PlayStation or whatever, if you've got PS3, I think that's who Skyrim Special Edition is really for. It's not really for PC gamers. But I think with Skyrim, the problem I had was that there wasn't enough monsters. It felt like once you'd been through, you know, 5 or 6 dungeons, you'd kind of seen every monster in the game. You fought a lot of draugrs, you fought a lot of bandits, you fought some rat men, and fucking that was it, pretty much. And obviously the dragons. But I don't know. I feel like they mentioned that New Elder Scrolls games are a long way away. Apparently Bethesda are working on 2 games now, which are as big or as ambitious as Fallout 4.
Right.
But they're neither of them are an existing IP, apparently.
Right.
So that's interesting. Yeah. Dishonored 2 is coming out. Mm. And they talked a bit about Doom as well and the future of that. So this Doom's quite interesting, because me and Sips this week had a go at one of the snap maps.
Okay.
Which are like custom maps that you can make in Doom. And I don't know if the video's gone out yet on the main channel, but the one we played, PFAX, was one called Harvest Doom.
Okay.
It's like Harvest Moon.
In
Doom.
You gotta make like little farms and stuff. It's cool.
Yeah, it was silly, quirky. It took about 20 minutes to do the whole thing. And it was I liked it for some reason. I think that it seems like Doom, we talked about Doom a little bit before, but it ticks a lot of boxes for me. The multiplayer is not great, but I don't care about that. I enjoyed the single player campaign. I feel like I've got my money's worth. I'm looking forward to a new DLC for it, or the continuation of the story. It was an absolute blast to play gameplay wise. The engine felt so enjoyable to just blast my way through with shotguns and stuff.
Yeah,
man, I loved it.
Yeah, I need to play it. I still need to like play it through and finish it. I bought it finally, but I just need to get around to actually playing.
So yeah, there's a huge amount of like trailers and sort of, I don't know about the announcements really. A lot of E3 is around consoles.
Yeah.
The Xbox and the PS4 really dominate, like they dominate an entire fucking, one of the entire conferences is just basically Xbox, Nintendo and PlayStation. And so there's a lot of stuff like Final Fantasy games and Crash Bandicoot and a lot of fan service being, you know, a lot of remakes of favorite IPs announced. Microsoft are trying to get the Oculus sold on everyone. Basically, Microsoft and Facebook are trying to push the Oculus, and they're basically just trying to get everybody to pay every games developer a lot of money to be exclusive to Oculus rather than Vive.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a common thing that happens. Actually, this is why a lot of games are exclusive to console, or for a certain amount of time.
Let me tell you what, this is a segue into something else. So tomorrow, as in Friday the 17th, I'm going to York, right? I'm going up to York. So by the time this goes out, I will have already done this. But anyway, what I'm going to do is go up there, because York University, some guys there in some kind of digital lab thingy, are building some software to do with esports, and they wanted to talk to me about it. And they said, would you like to give a talk about esports while you're up here? And I was like, okay. So I'm going up there tomorrow to give a little talk to some students about esports and stuff, because I guess they think I know something about it. I'm not going to tell them that I don't. All right. By the time they see this next week, they might realize post talk that I obviously didn't know what I was talking about, but I'm going to do it anyway. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was about esports in the future. And obviously this is clever, right? I can talk to you guys about this now, give my talk, and it'll seem like I knew what I was doing at the time, but I can also get your opinions now ahead of time, but they won't know I did it until after the fact. Brilliant. Okay.
Right.
So Here's the thing. I was thinking about the future of esports, right? And the fact that it's going to be big money and all the rest of it. And all these big companies are getting involved. And like, I know that Comcast are sponsoring a team.
Yeah.
And all these traditional sports clubs are like sponsoring a team. Like the Mets have picked up an esports team or with someone like the Yankees or whatever, blah, blah, blah. What is the one thing that these big companies always, always seek to do? And just like they're doing with the Oculus Rift and the Vive and all this, is they always want to narrow down access to the stuff that you want, so you have to go through their platform. So my concern about esports in the future is that there's nothing really stopping ISPs from doing deals with these big game devs and saying, if you want to play League of Legends 2, you have to have a Comcast box. You have to be a Comcast customer. Just like if you're in the UK and you want to watch Game of Thrones on TV, you have to be a Sky customer. Exclusivity in gaming, not just through the console you need, but the actual connection you have to the internet. I reckon that's what's going to happen to esports. I reckon it's going to fuck it right up.
That's net neutrality thing, isn't it? And I don't think that's going to happen, because I think games companies are too aware that the whole mechanics of free to play are that it reaches everyone, right? It's not blocked by people who don't have credit cards or are too old or too young or can't afford it or don't really know or don't want to risk it or blah, blah, blah. The great thing about the reason that free-to-play games work so well is that they access the entire internet equally.
Yeah.
And you can there's no bounds to entry, right? I don't know. I think that there's too much money in the big games that are popular. I think in a way, I think that here's the thing, right? That I think about esports is that a lot of people say, "Oh, we want this game to be the next big esport," and they work. The games company go out there right away and say, "We're going to make this into the next esport. We're going to build an esport," and that's not what happens. Like esports, some of the biggest esports come out of not intending to be esports, right?
Yeah.
And some of the ones which are designed to be esports suck.
Yeah.
Like Nintendo really don't want Smash Brothers to be an esport.
Indeed.
And they do best to stop it being an esport. In fact. And other people like Hearthstone was never intended to be kind of an esport. Hearthstone was always intended to be just another fun little thing on the Blizzard launcher. I think that it ended up becoming something way, way, way more than they thought Hearthstone would be.
Yeah.
And as a result, you know, it's esports and it's sort of it's Twitch streamers and everything that's been around it. They've moved with the result, you know, as the evolution happened, they've moved with it and they've evolved
right.
to embrace
I don't even
it.
Know. Most of the games now that are big esports, I mean, when they came out long enough ago where I don't even think that would have been at the forefront of people developing its mind, bearing in mind that it would have taken them a couple of years to actually develop the game before it came out too, sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like maybe you're right. Maybe like a lot
well,
of
if you take
games
Dota,
that are big esports now were never meant to be sort of thing.
Right,
but
look at Dota, right? Dota was a mod for Warcraft 3 and was played for like 10 years around the world. Loads of people played it. It was really big, but it wasn't until, I mean, what are we at TI6? So TI6 is coming in August of this year. The International is like the big Dota event. And it's only started in the last 6 years. Like TI1 wasn't like a Valve sort of massive event the way it is now. It was relatively small compared to what it is now.
Yeah.
So when they did Dota 2, they obviously just thought, like somebody somewhere thought we should do a friggin' big tournament for this and that would be awesome. And only then did they really realize the potential that it had as a sport that people could play and all the stuff that would go along with that.
But
whereas then you suddenly had all these companies like 2 or 3 years ago saying, holy shit, MOBAs are big. We're going to make one.
Yeah.
And they were fucking awful. They were all fucking awful. And they just tried to shoehorn in all this stuff and tried to appeal. And nobody cared because they already had the exact same thing. And they made their game identical.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, don't play Dota. Play this game that's almost exactly the same instead. It's like, why would I do that?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like all these other new games that come out as esports, what was there that was exactly like Hearthstone? I guess Magic the Gathering, but Hearthstone was like a much more accessible and the UI and everything was much better designed. It was much prettier game to play. Overwatch is kind of like, I guess like it's like a cross between any of those FPS sort of esports and a bit like a MOBA as well, because, you know, you've got teams and heroes and all the abilities and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was something, again, that was slightly different and new. A lot of the companies that try to get into esports try to look at what's working and copy it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's got to be something new, but also kind of familiar. And I think that's the way all these games have gone that have been successful.
Yeah. It's weird to think, like, you know, Dota... Dota 2 obviously benefits massively from being like a big competitive esport now, but if it wasn't a big esport, it would still do very well.
Yeah.
You know, it's the model of the game and the way that, you know, it makes its money and stuff. It would still be highly successful, I think.
Yeah, it would still do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they make a huge amount of money from the items that are related to the big tournaments.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah.
Because like you've got the compendiums, right?
Yeah.
So every time there's a big tournament, the compendium comes out. That's when Valve makes its real money.
League of Legends, I don't play enough of to know. Do they do anything similar to that? Because I know that there's tournaments for like League of Legends is huge. You know, like you look on Twitch and there's always some summer tournament or summer league or winter league or something.
Honest answer, who fucking cares? It's League of Legends.
Yeah.
But I don't think they have any compendiums or anything built in like that. You know,
no,
like
and they actually complain about that a lot. I know I read a forum one time when they were saying, how the fuck did this idiot Pyrian Flax get an announcer in Dota 2? And we don't have anything like that in League of Legends. And why don't they have like the workshop and everything? Like the money that you pay to play League of Legends goes directly to unlocking the heroes or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty much how it works, as I understand it. But they made $1 billion last year. I mean, whatever it is they're doing, they're working.
I've really enjoyed not playing MOBAs for a while. And one of the things I'm really looking forward to actually is just seeing, because there are a lot of really interesting games on the horizon. I mean, I think we're in a great place games-wise. There's a lot of good games coming out there that we can play that are, you know, if you need a single-player game that's going to last 8 hours, great. If you're going to play like an indie kind of builder game or something quirky or a survival game like Rust or Ark Survival, there's a lot of those out there. I mean, the new Zelda that they were showing at E3 looks really, really fun and really wants me to get back into playing a, you know, just experiencing like an Ocarina of Time style Zelda game again.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I don't know, I'm really happy. It's a really good place. And so last night I was playing Hearts of Iron 4 on you guys' recommendation.
Yeah.
But I've got an embarrassing tale about that. So I've never played a Hearts of Iron game.
Okay.
And I didn't, but I watched your Romania first of your Romania videos, and I didn't learn.
Shit, I need to watch that. I need to watch
play the game. I think Romania is a good pick because they're kind of they're a small country, but they're quite pivotal, like role and location. You know, they're relevant. They actually are involved in the war. I think the war didn't end too well for them. I know the Prime Minister, was it Ian Antonescu or something? Yeah. I think his name is. He was like executed, but for war crimes after the war kind of thing. He was, I don't think it went too well for him. So hopefully your one will not go the same way.
We'll see. I mean, I've actually got 11 parts so far.
Wow.
And I scheduled them. So they each come out every day, like for the next 11
days.
Holy
fuck, you're like a real YouTuber
now. I know. I was so proud.
What is happening to you?
I was so proud of myself.
What the fuck, period?
Wow.
Jeez.
So was that all streamed though, that you...
I streamed it, just cut it into chunks and uploaded it. So, I mean, I did, you know, it's not as polished as it should be, but...
No, it's fine, though.
The thing is, like...
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, it's
if you want me to do some editing and stuff, I'm available. You want me to tighten it up for you a bit?
No.
Okay. Just offering.
Oh, my God. So, I made...
I like it loose.
So okay.
Tutorial... is Italy, right?
Oh, wait, so you played Hearts of Iron 4. What nation did you play?
Well, I did the tutorial, which is
Italy. Oh, you did
Italy,
the Italian tutorial, yeah.
Boo!
Well, I just wanted to do the tutorial, and I had to attack Ethiopia, right?
Yeah.
As the way to...
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, okay, I know, but I didn't really know what I was doing, and I accidentally... Well, not accidentally, I obviously mistakenly decided to send all my troops through a direct... Just basically go straight for the capital.
Yeah.
And... I did that, but I didn't leave any divisions protecting my home area.
Yeah.
And so they just walked in, took my home area, cut off all the reinforcements, and my little group of Italian soldiers was trapped in the middle of Ethiopia.
Nice.
Slowly got whittled down and eventually died. And it was like the most epic victory for Ethiopia, I guess, of all time ever. You know, I lost like 8 Italian divisions.
Hang on, you...
It was horrible.
You failed the tutorial?
Horribly, yeah. And it didn't even let me... It didn't even, like, register that I've done it. I don't think it could even...
Let me tell you something, okay? I'm pretty bad at video games, but I did that tutorial. I don't even normally do tutorials. And I aced that fucking tutorial. like, I feel pretty good right now.
I'm coming down there, aren't I? Next week, I'm coming to Bristol.
I need
right?
some help, he flex.
We should so do a thing where we'll pick a nation, and I will train you up in the ways of Hearts of Iron.
Can we be like a kind of
whatever nation you like want to play?
Father and son nation.
Yeah,
team.
Yeah.
I'm new to the game, so for me, it's important that I have a small country to start with, where I have a lot of time to just organize myself, get myself together. Because jumping in as a superpower when you're not ready to do that is
it is
pretty
tough.
Overwhelming. Yeah,
I mean, if you do want to start as a superpower, I would recommend Nazi Germany, purely because you've got a lot of options, and you've got so much in terms of resources and manpower and stuff like that, that you actually can go a bunch of different ways. And the tree that, like, you know, when you go to national focus, the major nations have a customized focus tree for them. So, for instance, you can go allies with the Soviets, you can turn against them, you can go buddies with Italy, or, you know, there's a whole bunch of options.
Cool.
With the minor nations, it's a default tree.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can focus, but not in the same way. So you don't get the same historical things, like Germany's got the Anschluss of Austria, which is where Austria just says, hey, we're German too, and taking the Sudetenland and stuff. So it gives you more of an insight into how the war's going to go. If you play as a minor nation, you're almost taking yourself out of history, because you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
If you play as the major nations, you can at least get an idea of how the war goes for later games, because I think you need to know how the game generally plays out. Although in my games, generally, when you get the early editions of Hearts of Iron 3 and Hearts of Iron 4, all kinds of bonkers stuff happens. Like, I was playing Hearts of Iron 3 one time, everything's going great, we're just about to take France, and the Australians invaded northern Germany and captured Berlin. Yeah. They just took it.
Nice.
Like, I didn't have any troops around apart from one cavalry, because I was like, who would invade now? But of course, the Aussies were like, g'day, sport, we're in Berlin! And they just rolled in. I was like, oh, we fucking lost.
Jesus.
It does, that kind of stuff happens. In later editions, they tend to iron out some of that stuff, which is a shame, because I like that bonkers stuff that happens. It keeps you on your toes.
But keeps you on your toes, yeah. We need to play like a multiplayer of that, or like Stellaris or something. Like
I would love to do a Hearts of Iron. I think it would be quicker than Stellaris. Stellaris is such a long game.
It is.
I feel like Hearts of Iron would be a lot quicker. It
really is a long game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think once we all have had a little bit of time to digest the 4X and not be completely frustrated. But I think it's difficult, because any 4X that has either no turn timer or the ability to pause is obviously a little bit awkward, because most of the time, you know, when you're playing these 4Xs, like Hearts of Iron 4 is so much more realistic than Civ. Civ is kind of a fun game, you know, but it's completely unrealistic in a sense to do with the troops and the movements and the size and the spacing and the important things about war. Whereas Hearts of Iron 4 is incredibly accurate, you know, and incredibly detailed, and so different. It's a completely different game. And I think that, in a sense, playing it multiplayer has to be done in a way that's not super frustrating for other people, you know.
No.
If you've got loads and loads to do, and you're managing, you know, you're trying to manage like France or Germany or the UK.
Yeah.
And then someone else is sitting there on Romania, and they're like waiting for just waiting.
I mean, honestly, I think if you played as one person plays as America, they actually would have quite a bit to do, because you do have quite a lot to do as America. Not so much fighting in the early years, but you've got to prepare for it and decide which way you're going to go. Whether you're going to go after Japan first, whether you're going to go after Europe first. Japan is quite a big player, but they're kind of cut off from the rest of the map. But you have got a lot of shit to do.
I think the way
Germany,
to do it.
Soviet Union, UK are the big three. You kind of want to have those three almost.
Yeah.
Like somebody plays as the UK. I don't know if you can play as multiple nations in multiplayer. Like, that would be kind of good.
Yeah.
But the thing is, whoever plays as France is probably going to get conquered and kicked out of the game. So it would kind of suck for them.
My feeling is that the way to do it is to probably find a game speed that equals 9 hours or whatever, and then we do like 3 mornings or 3 sessions of it, you know, together.
Yeah.
And that way it's over in 9 hours, and you know, that is it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like just throw all the cards up in the air and see where they fall. Like, just fucking start a game.
That's always your idea for everything, Sips.
I know, it's because I don't like to think
too much. That works to some extent, Sips. I mean, that's great sometimes with something that's short, but with something that's long, like Hearts of Iron, the problem is that what happens when you go away for 2 weeks, or I go away for 2 weeks, or PFLEX goes away for 2 weeks, and then we can't play it, and then we don't come back to it and never finish it, and then we're kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's better to make it an event and have like turning up to a D&D session, you know, every week or whatever, you know, as long as you know, as long as it's a consistent thing. Maybe it could be like a weekly thing. Like, I really look forward currently. It's weird how this has sort of changed in my life. I love spontaneous things. I love doing things spontaneously. That's like really wonderful. But at the same time, I really look forward to playing Factorio with Duncan on Mondays. I really look forward to playing Hearthstone with Terps on Thursdays. I have these appointments like that I really look forward to.
Yeah, you like to compartmentalize.
A little bit. I like to just experience things. And sometimes just we know how the Civ games work. You know, the Civ games are fucking fantastic because we are excited every morning, but we don't play for too long.
Yeah.
We don't get burned out on it, and we don't, but we stop before we want to because we have to. So, by which I mean, we don't play something until we get bored. We play it until we have to go, and then we're excited to come back because we've stopped it at a point where we're keen to carry on playing, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes stuff does well as a result. Sorry, I'm boring you guys.
No, no, not
this
at all.
Psychology.
No, I'm not yawning because of that. I'm just tired.
I didn't yawn at all.
It's been a good podcast, guys. Have you got any questions, Sips?
Yeah.
We'll round off with that.
Quickly before we go into questions, you've been playing Hearts of Iron 4. Anything else you've been playing this week?
I played a bit of Hearthstone, unfortunately. I don't know why. I've got a few games that I bought on Steam that I'm sort of looking into playing, but I did pick up like a few games on sale because I never actually played Watch Dogs. So I might see if I can play that this week. So sometimes games just, you miss them, don't you?
Yeah, Watch Dogs was one I completely skipped that. But I have, I bought the expansions for Witcher 3 and then I realized that I hadn't played Witcher 3 in a year because I think when I was in the middle of it, I went to TI last year, I think. So I came back and I was like, man, I've forgotten everything. And now I just want to play Dota because I haven't played it for a month and everything.
Yeah.
So it just sort of fell by the wayside. So I loaded it back up. I was like, I'm sure I'll just pick up right where I left off. But I had no idea. I'd forgotten all the controls. I didn't even know how to use my sword or anything. I was like, oh, shit. So I considered restarting it. And I got about half an hour in and I realized I remembered all the quests and all the things I'd had to do and the amount of hours I'd put into the game. And I was like, I really don't want to have to do this all over again.
I know.
So
that's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. I reloaded back at my save and I'm getting back into it now. It is such a fucking good game.
I bought it and I never played it.
This is why I'm not playing Far Harbor. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until all the Fallout DLCs are out, because that is the last Witcher DLC as well, which I'm quite surprised by. I thought there would be more, but they released them fairly quickly, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great game, Sips. It really is a beautiful game. And I got...
I'll try it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The combat is hard. So a lot of people are saying, oh, you should play it on the hardest level because otherwise, it's not the real experience.
But you're not allowed to play video games for a living unless you play it on the hardest level, you asshole.
It is so hard if you play it on the hardest difficulty, but it is genuinely a great game. So I played that a bit, played Hearts of Iron 4, and of course I've been watching the football. That's why I haven't been, I've barely been streaming.
The football.
I've watched every game, every single game. I love it so much.
Football!
Would you like to do... I sound like a football. Yeah. I sound like Gary Lineker.
You are Gary Lineker. Yeah.
Would you like to be like a kind of football-y kind of host for esports or sports, PFLEX? Is that something you'd like to do in the future?
Well, so like, if there was a show about esports, do like a sort of hosting for that, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be good. I mean, I've always thought that I could do something like that. But
the show
I
could just be
talking.
Called esports! Mark. That could be.
It is interesting. Like sometimes you see things, or sometimes I do this. Sometimes I see, like, I was walking past this place yesterday, or the day before yesterday with Sips, and I was like, man, I could see myself like just running that place. Like it was like a sort of bar.
Yeah, it was a
alley.
Fucking. It was a bowling alley,
and I was like, I could see myself just running that place. Yeah. It's weird how sometimes, but a lot of the time I think, oh no, I could never do that. I could never do that. I see a lot of things and I think, oh man, I could never do it. And then other people say, oh, I could definitely see myself doing that. Yeah.
I actually wouldn't want to do one that was just esports. I'd rather, like, I watched some of the E3 highlights and there were people doing interviews and hosting and stuff. And I thought, their only thing is that they're stupidly enthusiastic. Like, they're not funny. They're not saying anything clever. They're not saying anything that's particularly going to stick in your mind. They're just like, all right, guys, Call of Duty, whoa! And I'm like, I'm sure I could do better than that. I mean, I feel like esports at the moment...
It depends. I mean, they're appealing to an audience of 10-year-olds.
Yeah, but they're
problem.
All like, God, this is embarrassing. Because these guys are way too fucking old. They're not cool. Kids don't like people that just shout at them. I don't think they want people that are cool.
No, I think they want people to just shout at them, though.
Yeah, maybe.
I think they want people who are cool. Like, 35-year-old dads
in their garage.
I'm not saying me, Lewis. Play lots I wasn't suggesting games. Me.
Pyrian, you need to get a garage and you need to convert it into a smelly dad pad like me.
I've just used my top room. I've converted that. By the way, people keep asking, why does Pyrian have a hospital bed behind him?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the bed in my spare room is a bit hospital beddy. It's just the angle. It really doesn't look too much like a hospital bed, I promise.
It's because you're like Dexter in real life and you actually kill people in that room.
Only
you're not
campers,
streaming video games.
Deep woods campers are my targets. I will portage across a vast area.
I acquired this target through the means of portage. Now I will eat them.
Right. Oh, well, that is a perfect end to the podcast. Oh no, we've got time for a couple of questions.
All right, let's have some quick ones then. There's one here. Colin asks, what type of music are each of you into? I always think you guys would be really into jazz or classic rock. I like a bit of classic rock. I like a bit of jazz as well. I think predominantly I still listen to a lot of hip hop from the early 90s. Mm. Like, that's my go-to. Like, if I listen to something, it'll be
stuff that you listen to
like,
when you were a teenager.
I'm not even like coast specific. Like, I'll listen to East Coast or West Coast.
So you have a cross beef interest. Like, you're not concerned with the beef.
I'm like
between
the
East
Switzerland
and West.
Of the rap. Beef. I'm totally, yeah. It doesn't bother me at all. I'll listen to anything from that era in that genre. It's
gotcha. Yeah.
I'm all good.
I am someone who, I don't know, lately I've been just going through various Spotify playlists. I've been listening to some, my current playlist of choice is Totally Tropical House.
Wow.
That's what I was listening to this week when I was playing Hearthstone.
Wow.
So that's just, look it up on Spotify. It's got like, 500,000 followers.
Wow.
So it's quite popular.
Yeah, Tropical House. Jeez.
Totally Tropical House.
Does it have lots of whistles and like flutes and stuff in it?
Probably. Yeah, sure. And I've also got a
place. Is it like the music from like the Tropical Paradise level in Mario Kart? Is that what it's like?
Not really, no. Oh. It's not, no. Also, I've got a playlist called Holy Shit, an Incredibly Epic Playlist. You can Google that. It's 12 hours long. It's like all kind of like
Van Halen
soundtracks from games and films like Mass Effect 3, Batman Arkham City, Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, Warhammer 40K stuff, Spider-Man 2, stuff like epic trailers and XCOM 2 soundtracks, stuff like that. Really good sound, really just good, epic-y kind of, no vocals.
You just
mostly.
Listen to music that you would describe as an epic
soundtrack.
It's
kind of adventure music. It's good. I love it. So that's my jam right now.
That's your jam.
What you got, PFX?
I listen, as anyone who's ever watched my stream will know, to an extremely wide range of stuff from like the classic hip-hop stuff to like trance and dance stuff to, say, cats and dogs music where they like replace the words with meows and barks. Like, I'll listen to anything. If it's good, I'll like it. Like, I'm completely non-judgmental about the singer or the band or the scene or whatever. Like, I'm not like, man, Justin Bieber never made a good song because I really like that Sorry song that he did. I think that's a really good pop song. So I'll fucking listen to anything. And if I like it, I like it. And I know a lot of people like, I'm into this and I'm into that, but I'm definitely not into anything specific. I'd listen to a lot of music, a lot of new music, some old stuff, and I'll listen to anything.
Well, there you go. That was a great question.
That was a really good question. That'll do, Pig.
That'll do. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next week.
Peace.
Lots of
love you. Bye.